Hello everyone, this is Mike Quincy connecting the light. Sorry about the delay there, we had some technical difficulties which I think we've totally overcome, which pleases me immensely because my guest today is Virginia Essene, and I feel very privileged to have the opportunity to speak with her. She's the author of one of my favourite books going back quite a number of years, New Teachings for an Awakening Humanity, and there are others, and I think in that period of time that was the book that everybody wanted, and she's done some terrific work and authored or co-authored quite a number of books over many years. She's now, I think, almost retired or semi-retired. So having said all that, Virginia, are you with us? If so, welcome to the program.
I can hardly hear you, Mike.
Ah.
Can you hear me?
I can hear you. Hold on, let me adjust my microphone a little bit. I can hear you absolutely loud and clear. Is that any better for you?
A trifle, but I'm really struggling here with you.
Okay. I wonder if Seth is listening in here, because we need to do something about my sound volume. Are you with us, Seth? Are you listening in, or doesn't appear
That's
to be?
That's a little better.
Oh, is that fine? Okay. I mean, I can adjust my volume and hear you loud to the point of it being too loud, if you know what I mean.
Yes.
Are you hearing me now? Okay.
Yeah, it's faint, but I can hear you.
Right, okay. Well, at least we can get going. I admire your work very much so, and you've been a very busy lady, and I think you're certainly entitled to have something in the way of a retirement, and I'm sure you won't mind me telling our listeners that I think I'm correct in saying you're 84 now.
82. I'm working toward 84, but I'm...
Well, you're not far away anyway, and you've had such an active lifetime up to now. So... when did all this start for you? Because I gather you probably started to get into your writing in the 80s.
Yes, that's right. I was a college teacher, and I had the loss of the three most important people in my life within about a year, and so I was really stricken. And about that time, the Maharishi from India came over and started doing transcendental meditation here in California, and so I decided I better go do something, and I started meditating, and it went very quickly for me to tune in into a voice within me that's been waiting to speak for many years, and so that just started me off. And so I am very big on telling people, please meditate. It's a source of great inspiration and guidance, and if we're not using it, then we really are limiting our own consciousness. So I think meditation or quiet time, whatever it is, to just release the busyness of our personality mind, that's the critical thing, and that's what changed my life. And I was in my 40s before I started to meditate, so... I had a lot of activities to do with hospice and other things, work that I did here. And then one day, people from the Edgar Cayce Foundation back in Virginia Beach in California, in back east, said, we're going to Israel, and your name is on the list. And I kept saying, no, I'm not going. I'm busy. The college won't let me go, blah, blah, blah. But... when spirit has a plan, you might just as well say, okay, and order the ticket and get on the plane and go.
Right.
And it changed my life, because I met then in an extraordinary realm someplace, the being once known as Sananda, Jesus Yeshua, and he said, would you scribe for me as once you did? And I denied that for quite a while, Mike. I just denied
it.
Yeah. Finally, I said, okay, I'll show up, I'll take summer off, and I'll just come, and and I would lay on the bed with a tape recorder and cry. And between sniffles, I would record the messages. That's how it started.
Right. So you're talking of Jesus, Sananda, and I gather you hesitated in the beginning because you didn't think you could do it. So what happened? Did he actually come to you by voice when you were meditating, or did you see him at all?
Well, what happened was, after I started to meditate, I had this very dear, beautiful voice that would wake me up about 2 or 3 in the morning and say, "I'm here to be truly helpful. Is there anything you need?" And so that's how he started, because if he had said to me, by the way, people on the earth used to call me Jesus Yeshua, I'd have hung up then. That'd have been the whole end of it. But he didn't. He approached me. He knew I was very interested in meditation now. So he used that tool to come to me in the quietude and just say, "I'm here to be truly helpful." And, of course, later when I discovered the books called A Course in Miracles, then I realized who that was, but I didn't still want to acknowledge it. You know, it's a pretty big deal for a little college professor to think one of the great saints of our lives is going to want to talk to you.
Right, yes.
Well, you know, when you started doing your own channeling.
Indeed, yes. I hesitated as well, I must admit. But your first book, then, presumably, was New Teachings for an Awakening Humanity. And I'm sure I'm correct in guessing that out of the, I think it's 9 books you've been involved in, that surely must have been one of your most successful ones.
Yes, it was. And we, of course, were pleased to have that book translated into many languages, and I began to travel, as you would imagine. People come to South Africa, come to Japan, come here, come there. So I spent a lot of time traveling around the United States. I was in London. George Trevelyan came to meet me there when I was speaking, and he took me out to Glastonbury and really gave me a beautiful entree back into time periods when I had been in England long ago in other lifetimes. So I was blessed to come to England, and I love it. I am impressed that you there are doing these programs, and it's really a joy to be connected. Thank you so much.
Oh, that's excellent. Now, the other book that comes to my mind, which I think also must have been a terrifically successful one, was the one you assisted Sheldon Neidl in, which was published in 1994, You Are Becoming a Galactic Human. And I think that is still very relevant to today, although I think that was predicting the changes which we thought were going to come about, I think, in the millennium. Now, I gather that you're thinking, or you are, producing an updated version. Is that correct?
No, I've given the rights for Sheldon to do that if he wants to.
Oh, right.
But we're not doing that. I'm going to be doing a different e-book if I have the energy. No, he has permission to do what he wants with that. Mostly, I'm not in touch with him much, but I understand he's doing a lot online so people can read his current information, even if he doesn't do another book. But we're happy that he do whatever with the material he wants. He knows that.
Yes. So what do you think was the main message in the book, You Are Becoming a Galactic Human? Because it must still apply, particularly so to this period of time when we are probably just about to officially meet our space friends.
Well, what I want to say to your audience today, Mike, is that there is one individual who must be attending to their own guidance. so we don't want to hear that. We want to find out somebody else is going to tell us this is the case or that's the case or whatsoever. But in truth, and I say this in the deepest, sincere fashion, everybody, each person, has to get quiet. The Bible said, be still and know. Why would they say that? We have to connect our personality. Remember, our personality came into a garden of misinformation, and we've had to spend our lives sorting out what's true and accurate. And until we get connected to our own soul spiritual energies that's guiding us minute by minute, hour by hour, what might be good for someone else may not be good for us. So let's assume that our friends from space are going to land. Now, you and I had better be sitting and listening to our guidance telling us what is to be best for us when this is occurring. We have a telephone to heaven. And if we don't sit down every day and call home and be available to hear and listen and carry out, now, of course, we have free will. But if we're not listening, Mike, how can we know what's best for us? I can't reiterate this more poignantly and more powerfully today. We are moving toward a consciousness expansion in which each of us has a connection to the greater good. You can call it God or what you will. Mm-hmm. If we don't pick up that telephone to home and listen every day so we're used to it, then when a time of crisis comes, it's not suddenly trying to get installed, you know. No, now we're used to it. We know how to do it. It's easier then. If I could, and of course in America, I'm speaking for the materialistic culture that we've become. We're interested in things many times that aren't of our own best interest. So we have to be very careful. So be still and know is a great admonition, but it's also a great joy. It's good to know that above everything else, you have help. I give you one quick example, and then if I get too chatty, just tell me. We had this terrible 9/11 event, and a gentleman was going off to work to get a train to go into town, to New York, and as he was leaving, his daughter came rushing out crying and upset, and she grabbed his legs, and she wouldn't let him move. Daddy, don't go, don't go. They're going to kill you, they're going to kill you. And he said, no, no, dear. And he put down his briefcase, and she was so upset. He took a minute or two to kind of gentle down her problem, enough that he missed the train that would have taken him to the building where he would have been killed. That's how quickly spirit can use dreams or meditative messages. We all need to be connected. It's the greatest truth I could speak to you today. Now, of course, we have galactic helpmate messages channeling. We have the Hopi prophecies or the Mayan or the Dogon people. We have the famous yoga teachings from Hinduism that explains to us that our solar system is in this traveling toward the light and away from the light within the galaxy. We have astrology, we have orbs and crop circles and teachings about the brain and all these things that Dr. Daniel Amen does. We have all of that, and it's wonderful and exciting to keep up and be in touch with each other, because when I am connected from my personhood to my own spirit soul teaching and messaging, then as you do that, then we have a community of creativity that is the two and more. It is the time now, I am told, for community creativity, for us to listen within, learn all we can, stay in touch with each other, and work together cooperatively, of course. And I'm thrilled that you are such a person in the world, Michael, to bring information to people. Yet when the day is done and you go to sleep at night, you have dreams or a quiet gratitude to spirit that takes you into higher realms from which you will be educated, taught, supported, and loved. Is there any greater joy than the gratitude and certainty that we're loved? So, yes, I'm excited if our galactic family's coming, and thrilled that we're having help. But I know within myself we each have to listen every day. And I'm thrilled that you've asked me, because that was the message I was told. Whatever else you say or do, please remind everyone they are a beloved of the Creator. And they have a telephone line directly to their own spiritual guidance and teaching and support. So I am thrilled that you have allowed me to bring that message forth from our Lord, because He loves us all, and so does the Buddha. There isn't a teacher that's ever been here that's not on our side and wanting to help us. But free will beings that we are, we have to slow down, especially now. You know, we're losing linear time. I hope, is your audience familiar with that?
I would think so, yes, yes.
So what's going on now is we don't have 24 hours of linear time. If we're lucky, we have 20. And in the meantime, our little body is busy trying to change from a DNA pattern that no longer will carry us forward into higher dimension. So here is this poor little body trying to keep up with these frequencies of light as we're getting into the influence, of course, of the photon belts. Yes. And here we are trying to do everything that we used to do, and we don't have linear time to do it in. So we're stressed out. Some people are trying to multitask with everything. While the poor body is exhausted, it's trying to get the cells and changing within. And meanwhile, we're not eating the proper food. We're not hydrating with the liquids the body needs. We're getting stressed out and apprehensive, and everybody's confused and wonders what's happening next. Not everybody, but many of the people who call me for help. So we are in experiencing time of losing linear 24 hours and going into fourth, fifth dimensional energies where there is no time. And that's why I used to tell Sheldon when he was doing the book, I said, don't tell us on a certain date like 1995 or 96 you're going to be coming here as a helpmate to give us assistance here on the planet. Don't give us those dates, because you don't have time. How can you make time for us? You can guesstimate, but yes, please don't tell us that. And, of course, what happened was, for poor Sheldon, then people read his book and they were expecting the folks to arrive from outer space. And a lot of people said, well, he didn't do it right, or he didn't do enough, or whatever. But it was simply that it's very hard for... Imagine we didn't have time, and then we're trying to talk to somebody who has these 24-hour linear things. And so it's quite a challenge for them. And we're blessed that they want to help us. I promise you that.
Right, yes.
I appreciate that more than words can say.
Right. Well, I think that's a terrific answer you've given there. And to remind people
I'm having trouble hearing you, Mike.
Yeah, I was saying that's a terrific answer you've given us there, to remind people particularly of their own needs to keep this contact going with their higher self and their guides or whatever.
Yes, and to be grateful that we have this support and we have this knowledge. I find many Americans, I don't know that you are the same, but many of my compatriots here in the United States have been involved in a lot of materialism, and they don't think of much about gratitude as I would wish they would do. Of course, that's my judgment showing there. But it's miserable for them now because there are all these terrible changes going on in the financial realms and everything. And so instead of being grateful, they're frantic, scared, they're fearful. And we know that there are only two choices in life of four-letter words. One is fear, and one is love. And if you're in fear, you can't be in love. But if you're in love and gratitude, then you can't be in fear. So we have a choice of every thought and feeling. And by the way, people don't seem to realize that their soul spirit initially may not have conversation. Initially, it comes connected to the heart in the feeling level. So the feelings that people have are indicative of what can follow from that. But if they don't go to their heart, and if they're not in gratitude, and if they're not welcoming a connection of support with the higher frequencies of love, then they are missing something so valuable. And I can't tell you how many times in my life I would have been in a dangerous situation, and then at the last minute something occurred that I wasn't even there where this might have been harmful, and then I'm somewhere else. When we had the big earthquake here in California, I was sitting in New York City giving an event, and we turned on the evening TV news and watched California having its problems. So I'm proof, and I know you are too. You may have some of your things too, Mike, that you've done where you've trusted and listened, and then you've planned and carried it out, and you're safe and loved and comforted.
Yes, indeed. Tell me a little bit about the start when you found progressively that you
I'm having trouble hearing you. Speak up.
Okay. I was asking you if you could tell me when you started making these contacts and the books arrived, you first joined up with two or more people, and then you joined up with three, and then you were working with 12 channels. What was the purpose of that?
Well, I'm so glad you asked me that. It relates to what I've just said. When you tune in to your own guidance, then you're the one. You're the one personality that's connected. Then you have to find another one. So that becomes two people. But the ultimate is 12 or more. That is why then I was asked, do a book in which 12 authors will agree to talk on a certain topic, not knowing what the other people are going to say. Some of those people had never met each other. They only agreed because I asked them. So we went from one, then to a partner with two, and then for me to give an example of risking asking 11 other people, not knowing what they were going to put in a book that I was going to say I'm publishing. So I didn't know what they would say, and they didn't know what each other would say, but they did it in an agreement from their own truth to share. That's this period of community cooperation. Master talks about it as, Master Jesus talks about it as community creativity. He said, This is the time of community creativity, when you, the personhood, agree to be in attunement, then you find another, and then all of you begin to find others. That is what can help save humanity a lot of pain and suffering, because the more of us who are in agreement. The other thing he asked me to tell everybody today, Remember this, he said. Agreement equals manifestation. Agreement equals manifestation because when two or more are gathered, there also is a divine presence of help, light, love, wisdom, and so on. And so today, in this time of shift and change, community creativity allows, just like today, I couldn't be talking with all these dear souls who like your program. There's no way I could have arranged that. But you arranged something, and that's the way it works. Now, somebody from your program today might get a little hint to do something valuable for another person, maybe sharing something we've talked about today, or filling more fully their own care of their bodies and you know, getting dehydrated and eating proper food and getting some sleep and stop doing all the work they've been doing that's exhausting their poor little body. So we don't know. I have no way of evaluating whether what we've done today has a meaning. But I trust that it does because of other experiences that we've all had. So trust is an important aspect. Trust and love and believing in gratitude and appreciation are so valuable, Mike. So valuable.
Indeed. Yes, I totally agree with you there. Now, something that Christ Jesus told you intrigues me a little bit, because he said he was greatly concerned about the welfare of children who desperately needed love during their first several years of life. Would you like to say a little bit about that?
Well, I'd be delighted. The thing we don't understand is the human brain, and I'm going to recommend the work of Dr. Daniel Amen, A-M-E-N, just like we say amen.
Right.
So you can go online to his website. He began working with the brain some years ago. He's a psychiatrist. But he knew that the brain had inner parts that he wanted to know what they were doing. And so he found out that you could use this wonderful big huge machine, and you could look inside of the brain. And you can go on his website and you can see pictures of what different parts of the brain are doing, and what damage, physical damage, of course, damage from drinking, drugs, alcohol, and so on, other things, hurt the brain. And then the brain, of course, is connected to the hormonal system. Anyhow, I strongly recommend his work. He did a book, Magnificent Mind at Any Age, Change Your Brain, Change Your Life, The Brain in Love, many, many other things that he has available. So what he's discovered, and I'm sure other people knew too, when the baby comes out of the womb, it begins it's been tape recording everything already inside the womb, but now it's out where it has to be listening to everything. It can't, unless it's sleeping or crying, it has no language at that point. So it's just a tape recorder. It's just recording everything. Now, if the parents aren't sending love through tactile touching and through words, a part of the brain, we call it a part in the frontal lobe, that part of the brain doesn't get fed. And it has to be fed with love energy in order to begin development for being normal, or what you would call a spiritual being. So if the child doesn't have this love and affection, then it's damaged. That's the only word I can think of. It's missing something it has to have. Now, I don't blame the parents. Maybe there's some kind of a karmic agreement in some cases, or not. It's not for me to say. But I do know that as a practical matter, children must get love. All of us need love. And it's opening the brain. You know, we have these people that go in a schoolyard and shoot the little children and everything. And you say to yourself, how could anybody do that? Mm. Well, they couldn't be spiritualized because their brain never got to love and affection. That's why every culture must focus on loving the little child. It's absolutely essential. Otherwise, the brain and the frontal lobe won't be developing and won't go through the hormonal development so that when people are adolescent, you know, right now in America, 16-year-old boys have the most dangerous death by accident rate in the world because they have all that testosterone, and if they haven't had some teachings when they were little and had a little spiritual opening and then families that cared about them, anything can go crazy. So we have to see by example what not to do. That affects our long lives, and I'm so privileged to be able to let you tell me and repeat that today, Michael.
That's great. Yes, that's very interesting indeed. Thank you very much for that one. Does it mean that those type of children that lack love, perhaps as they get even older, get into criminal activity as well? I mean, does it totally spoil their opportunities?
Well, it tends to do that, and you can read many different famous authors, medical doctors, psychiatrists, and so on, and their beliefs and studies. What seems to happen is in the adolescent period, when the testosterone in the male figure doesn't have spiritual support from the family and having this opening in the brain and so on, it becomes increasingly difficult to follow patterns of behavior that are going to give back a sense of joy, a sense of accomplishment or success in working and so forth, because if you're not a very nice person, other people don't like to be around you, so it's harder to get a job. Or if you get a job, maybe you do things that are offensive and unkind and uncaring, and then other people don't want to be around you. So it's what you get when you're little that helps you, that is a kind of passport toward a more joyful and productive life. At least that's been my experience here in this country. But, you know, I loved England, and I told you that I was over there with Sir George Trevelyan. It made a profound influence on my life with the British, and so I'm just loving you all over there a lot.
Thank you very much. Yeah, yes, I can tell you just in passing, Sir George Trevelyan was actually the patron or the president of a society that I worked with, the Atlantean Society. I don't know if you came.
Sorry, I didn't hear that, Mike.
Yeah, I was simply mentioning that Sir George Trevelyan was the patron of the Atlantean Society, run by Tony Neat. You may have come across him in the 50s onwards. But be that as it may, I'd like to change the subject. Just going back to the photon belt, that was going to be a very important factor in the prior to 2000, and the event didn't seem to come along. But it must be equally important now. And you did mention the photon belt. So what part do you think it will play in the process of ascension?
Well, I think we've already received enough of the frequencies that our bodies are just exhausted. I don't know how you folks manage. We're such a busy group of people over here. But I'm telling you, the body is receiving some of these frequencies already. We're not fully into it, of course. But it's serious enough a lot of people are getting sick. They're exhausted. They're not sleeping well enough and trying to keep doing everything. And they're so it's a critical time for folks. And I'm very concerned about it. And if we are exhausted and then there is a landing or there is a Mayan prophecy fulfilled here, I personally wish everybody would study the yugas from Hinduism. I think it's the most helpful in understanding how our solar system, and of course we're in the solar system here. See, we're way out kind of in the suburbs or the rural areas from the bright light of the central sun in our galaxy. So there's only a few times in a 24,000-year period that we're moving toward it, and then we have to move away from it. So we have these periods of yugas that either give us more light from the divine or we get less light. That explained a lot to me when I first heard about it, because we, for instance, were, if you read European history, you would know that there was this Dark Age period that went on until the Renaissance. It was terrible. All these murders and people were awful to each other. Well, then suddenly came this Renaissance. Well, how did that happen? And when you study the yugas, you see, well, that was the darkest period when our planet in the solar system wasn't near enough light to keep people in the little consciousness that they needed. So then, about the Renaissance period, we began to leave that dark, dreary part, so that by 2000, we are entering now a second period of several thousand years called the Dwapara. And in that period of time, we're going to be getting more and more information about science and technology. And then that'll go on for a while. And then if we don't kill ourselves with Atlantean activities revisited, then we can go into the next wonderful period, which will be what the Greeks called the Great Year. They had a Greek philosopher who studied this, and he introduced it to the Greeks, and he called it the Great Year. And so in this 24,000-year cycle, now we're on the upswing. So everything's going to be science and technology now for a while. Then we'll get more back toward the higher spiritual. Then there'll be a golden age for about 4,000 years, during which we can be in a physical body and know everything, still being connected into the higher realms. That's when the proof of that wisdom is laid out in physicality for the poor guys later that aren't going to have the light. So what do? They run around the planet building pyramids and things that give us information when we're now down in this period of time. Your scientists go to look at the pyramids and they don't know how to do that. Well, they can't, because those were built in the golden age of 4,000 years when people were in a body but also had full knowledge and connection. That's why there's a little corner in the pyramid that at a certain point in time during the year, absolutely shines light to the star cluster of Sirius. Now, who could think of such a thing if they weren't already connected here while they were in a body to other parts, whether it's the Pleiades or the Sirians, the Arcturians, or whatever? They were in a high state of consciousness. And I don't think what we're going to be seeing in 2012 is going to be that advanced. I think it will be wonderful. I'm excited about it. Now, I will be thrilled to be wrong and say, hey, I made a mistake. I didn't believe. But I don't think it's going to be this full consciousness when we're going to go out tomorrow and build pyramids. I don't think that's it. It's a continuum of consciousness to guide us to get out of the third dimensionality limitations of misperceptions. And one of the great things about those books, A Course in Miracles, that happened for me, which is why then I was able to channel so well, is every day I had to look at some statement in that book and read it over and then try to accept that as truth. I'll give you one that I remember to this day. It was, I'm never upset for the reason I think. Well, of course, as soon as I read that, I went into my personality. Well, of course I'm upset. Look what so-and-so did, or the boss didn't give me a raise, or blah, blah, blah. The personality just never shuts up. And Dr. Daniel Amen calls that ants. That's automatic negative thoughts that the personhood begins to build from within the womb and never goes through and examines it. So we all have to be examining the limitations so that people can remember to meditate, get tuned in, and not be running around crazily believing that everybody is doing something awful to them, because if we believe that, then we're denying our creativity, and we're all creators. That's just what this is about. Getting us into a fuller state of creativity is what this change is intending. It's intending to give evidence of fourth and fifth dimensionality awareness or consciousness. And when our tiredness and our bodies and our cells are busy changing, we need to be wise enough to tune in and love our bodies and give gratitude, to meditate and rest and take care. And I'm the worst one. I have a list of 19 things I should do every day. And Mike, if I don't just shut up when I get out of bed and say, wait a minute, what does my body need? What does Virginia need today? Did I drink my water? Did I eat my good foods? Did I rest? It's a personal challenge for me because time is vanishing. Master Jesus wrote a newsletter on our website all about time. He did this about a year ago. All about time and all of its implications. And boy, did that open up my mind. And I had no idea, something else he shares on our website, and he told how the human body was designed or evolved, whatever you wish, to have laughter as a healing process. Well, nobody ever told me that. And, of course, when I read some of these authors, Norman Cousins and other people who were Americans and had experiences and came to discover that laughter helped them heal. So now it's a big thing here. Laughter is healing, but it's built in. And if you go online to laughter or laughter clubs or something, and a lot of people are laughing, if you and I could start to laugh right now, what would happen is underneath our solar plexus on downward, negative emotions would be jiggled around and could be released. It's amazing to me that nobody ever told us that we have love and laughter as our helpmates during this lifetime. And I'm 82, and I didn't even know that until recently about the laughter. So now I carry around little books of laughs in case I'm somewhere. And if I had time, I'd read some to you. But the big thing is laughter is healing. It's as healing as a loving moment in your heart. And people like the heart math people who do a lot of work about what comes out of the heart, those 5,000 electromagnetic emanations, and what quality do you want to have in them when they're flowing. So I think we can turn to astrology. There's a wonderful man, James Kelleher, K-E-L-L-E-H-E-R. He does national astrology every year in January, and then you know what the astrology of the nations are going to be. I recommend him. You can go online and buy his, he just did one the end of this month that I attended. It's very good. I recommend people go online to his jameskelleher.com if they want to see what the nation's astrology. We did one. He does one for each country. I especially want to honor another man, Alex Grey, G-R-E-Y, who has a website, and he does art that shows you the particles that are in us and around us. He calls us a human mirror. That's his termination of who we are, and he's this wonderful artist. So he can show you pictures. We've got orbs, for heaven's sakes, and crop circles. You people there are so lucky to be near the crop circles. And I just met a man by the name of Heinemann. He did a book on orbs, and he lives in my community, and he invited me over to talk with him one day. And so I'm into orbs. And see, here's the thing about it. Everybody in the third dimension is missing two of their spiritual qualities. One is sight, spiritual sight, and the other is hearing, spiritual sound. That's another reason why I did a book with Tom Kenyon called The Hathor Material. Tom is a great sound healer. And so if we can get better sound and better sight, then we will be a fully established, what I would call, a galactic human. But we're missing those two now. So the cats can see things you and I can't see with our eyes, and the dogs can hear sounds a million miles away, it seems to me, that I can't hear. They have something that we had to give up in order to get the frontal lobe, to get our two parts of our brain connected and move toward a higher state of spiritual awareness and identity. So it's very important that we each sit down, as I've repeated 15 times here, and realize we are in a solar system as a part of a galaxy. These galaxy movements affect us, and what our brothers and sisters from other dimensions are trying to do with us now is to help us get out of the third dimension so that we can have spiritual sight and spiritual sound. We can hear these beautiful symphonies, but we can't hear the precursor of them. And we can see a beautiful rainbow. One of my favorite quotations from the Old Testament is about, you know, I have left a rainbow as a sign of my devotion, or whatever they said there. Every time I see a rainbow, that's like a reminder that, I'm full of those same little particles that make that color for me to see out there in the sky. That's in me. That's operant in me. So I have all kinds of toys. Everybody teases me because I carry around all kinds of little laser things and cute things that show color that is within us. And I have all these little devices that I buy from the Oriental Trading Company over in Hong Kong, right, or someplace.
Virginia?
Yes, are we about ending?
Well, I'm just going to say that time is speeding along, as you've made the point earlier on. Now, I've got about 5 minutes left, as far as I can make out, and I need the last minute to tell our listeners.
Okay, what else do you want to say?
Well, what I wanted to ask you is, do you have your own website at this time?
Yes, you can either go under my name, virginiaessene.com, or we have a foundation. It's called Share Foundation. Now, the Share Foundation is a nonprofit charitable group whose intention was to bring celestial communications onto the earth. So that's why we started the Spiritual Education Endeavors Publishing Company. And now we have sold that, and I'm not publishing anymore, but we do have 10 books. The last one was called Anna, the Grandmother of Jesus. It's been out now several years. But you can go online. Every 2 months, I do a free Love Corps newsletter. And you can either go under my name or you can go under sharefoundationnetwork.com, and you will find the same information there. Some people knew me early, and I didn't want to be well-known, so I didn't have a website, but we put it out under our foundation. But the same thing appears both places. So if you go to the website under publications, just click on whatever month. I strongly recommend the one about time, which was back in September, October of 2009, using your new time reality states, because I can't go into as much detail or with as much wisdom as he did there.
Okay, that sounds excellent. I think our listeners will be going around with laughter and smiles after hearing what you said. I take it your books are, in any event, available through Amazon.
Well, I want them to read your own materials, of course, and all of us are family. I am thrilled in ways I can't even express that we have met as physical beings, that you're doing the work you're doing, and that all of these really loving, wonderful people are into growing and developing for the highest of all. And it's been my great privilege and honor to have been asked to speak with you all today.
Well, I have to thank you very much, Virginia. You're still a very excellent speaker, and you have a lot of wisdom to impart, which you have done today. So I'm very grateful, and as I said, I feel very privileged to have spoken with you. Thank you very, very much for coming onto the program. So I'll announce to our guests that next week I have Georgios Soukakoulos, who is something of an expert in subjects such as the pyramids, the star systems, lost knowledge, the Anunnaki, the missing link. He has in fact featured in TV documentaries about ancient astronauts, so we're certainly in for, I think, for a very good, interesting interview. So I must thank you for being with me today, and I do hope you can make it next week. God bless you all. Thank you very much.
Blessings, everybody. Bye-bye.